Okay, so we are beginning to get our feet wet in the sugya of Mafeo Gov and Mekano Habo Gov. We read yesterday just the Gemara itself, the next layer of the Gemara. The Gemara lays out the Machokas Abai V'Rava and the Nafkimina between them in terms of a case of Agdish Malveh, Vizavin Malveh, according to Abaye, that would be a Hegdish, that would be a Mechir, according to Rava, it would not be. Then the Gemara brings the Stira Rava and Rava. Rava here says Mekano Habo Gov, and something Rava said in connection to a statement of Rami Bachama quoted in Ksuba Sadi Beis, would seem to go against that. And that was because Rava there relied on the statement of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman commented that if you have a case of Yisomim who collected karka for a debt owed their father, so if you have a creditor of the father who would normally only be able to collect that which was Meshubatim Bechaye Ha'av, so here you have the Yisomim collecting karka after the father died, but it was for a chov that was owed the father. Rav Nachman is mechadesh that the bal chov of the father has a right to collect that karka from the Yisomim, even though they only acquired that karka after the father died. Now, what does that do with Rava? Rava utilized Rav Nachman's statement to try to solve a problem in the case that Rami Bachama paskined on regarding a case of Reuben and Shimon, where Reuben was a mocher who guaranteed a sale of a piece of land, be'achrayis. That means if something could potentially happen to the land, he would guarantee that Shimon would not lose out. Shimon owed money, which that money for the sale was converted into a milveh. We have to see the significance of that. Zafanel of the milveh, and now you have a situation where the seller Reuben died, and the Bal Chov of Reuben comes to Shimon to seize the land after Reuben died. Shimon, who's now holding on to the land and wants to keep it, finds a way to pay money to the Bal Chov of Reuben, which was owed to him by Reuben, and thereby keeps the land. And now the Din Torah with the Yisomim involves whether he still owes the money, the loan that was originally the payment for the field, because on the other hand, Shimon says, after all, Reuven, your father owes me achrayis, which he guaranteed for that sale. And therefore, Shimon wants to withhold payment now for that loan. And that's where the Yisomim come and argue that since the rule is metalti diyasmi lo mishtabdi lebalchov, referring here to that chov that's owed the father by Shimon, that cannot be used to satisfy the claim of achrayis. That's not mishtabdi lebalchov. And therefore, you owe that money for that quote-unquote loan, and you can't deny paying it. You have to basically pay us, even though you already paid the balchov. Comes Rabba with a solution, ipikeach Shimon. What Shimon can do is tell those Yisomim of Reuven, I'm going to pay you with karka. Someone asked me at the end of Shir, does it mean the same piece of karka? Pashat shat, any karka. It doesn't have to be that same karka. In the Rambam, it's mashma, he gave him that karka. But the Magid Mishnah says, it's not dafka, that piece of karka. The point is, some piece of karka that says, here it is, payment for that which I owe. And now we can invoke Rav Nachman's principle of Yisom Shagabu Karka, Lacham at Misa Savien. Now the Balchov, meaning now Shimon is a Balchov against Reuven, even though the Yisomim acquired this piece of land after the death of the father in this payment that's happening now. Now there is the ability of Shimon to now reclaim it, and that's Rava's solution. Frag the Gemara. How could you, Rava, embrace Rav Nachman's halacha? How do we understand Rav Nachman's halacha? Rav Nachman's halacha, chayra, can only make sense if we can go with the view of a mafeh who gove it. We can understand that when the Yisomim collect that land after the father died, it's now the equivalent as if the malva himself, the father himself, would be collecting the shibud. And if you own Mafeh Gova, when the Malva collects on the Shibud, we say that it's as if he would have collected it and had it all along from the time of the loan. So then that's why this land is Mishubud to the Balchov of the father, because it's considered to have been like the father's from before. So then we understand Rav Nachman's halacha that Rava could agree with, but that's only if you hold Mafeh Gova. We see from here that even if the collection takes place by the Yisomim, who are in place of the father, that's also enough to invoke the Mafeh Hugova. That's what you see in the Gemara's assumption. And this would therefore be another nafkamina, you could argue at this point, between Abaye and Rava. Before we said a nafkamina in terms of Akdish Malveh and Zabin Malveh, Lo and behold, we now encounter another possible nafkamina. Could this land be meshubet to a balchov of that person whose yesomim collected subsequently? The land was collected, the shiba was collected subsequently by the yesomim, but now the balchov wants to collect. Rav Nachman's din depended on by the Rava, says the Gemara, but that can't be because the Rava holds otherwise. It's a Gemara. Again, this all outside very quickly. We're going to see more nuances in Rashi. Says the Gemara, no, even without Abaye, even if not Mafehu Gover, you don't have to say that the land is owned by Reuven when he was alive because of the collection that the Yisomim had. Just the fact that there was a Shibud at that time of this land that the that was owed this Reuven, and since there's someone else who has a claim over Reuven, so the very Sheba that's owed Reuven, that Reuven has on someone else, that person who has a claim on Reuven has a claim on that Sheba too. In other words, the very same land is Meshubad, not just to Reuven, but also to the Balchova Reuven. Therefore, even if it was not Lemafer who Gove, even if it become Reuven's from before, but the Shibud was Chal already for the Balchova Reuven. And therefore, that's the reason why Rav Nachman's din could even be according to Rava, and that's why Rava can invoke Rav Nachman in the case of Reuven and Shimon. The Kasha of Rabbi Kiv Eger, we mentioned, I think, just in the second shiur yesterday, to speak it out. L'chara, an interesting Kasha, just in pshat. We have, therefore, two possible ways to understand why Rav Nachman's din and Rabbi's application of the din will be true, either through the root of the Mafer Hugova or through the root of Shibudid Rav Nassim. But it's interesting. Rabbi Kiv Eger asks, why does Rava have to tell Shimon to pay with karka and then collect it back for the fact that it's owed him, achrayis is owed him, and therefore he has a claim of achrayis? Why does he have to actually surrender the land and take it back? Now, let's think about this. We have to raise kasha relevant. If you hold, in other words, you're asking, it's the land is by me right now. So there it is. So I have a right to it. I can keep it. Now, it's obvious. The Kiveg is asking, and you see from the Kiveg himself, in Ksubis, if we understood Rav Nachman and Rav's application to Mafer Hugova, then obviously what has to happen in order to allow there to have been a Shiba from before because it became Reuven's retroactively? What had to happen? You had to collect it. So you have to have Shimon pay, and that's the action of the Yisomim collecting the land, gavu karka b'chobes aviyem, and just as if a regular malveh would be collecting his shibud at whatever point in time, so then we say igoy milsa that was this from before. So that's exactly the case with the Yisomim as well. So you need the karka to actually transfer formally to the Yisomim as part of their collection, and then as a result, we have a mafehu goveh, and we can say that it was Meshubit also for whatever Bachob is going to come now and collect from it. But Rabbi Tveg's kasha would be Lamaskana Shagama, that the reason really is not Lamafeh Ugove, it's only Kanulav Ugove. So, on what basis can Shimon have this land and keep it? The answer is because the land was Meshubit to him, since he is the Malve, you could say, or the creditor, the Bachov of Reuven, who is a balchov of somebody else, right? And therefore, the land that was meshubad to Reuven by that somebody else is also earmarked as a shibud to who? To who? What is he? He's Shimon, right? So, but in this case, it's the same person. The same person. It's not somebody else. Who's the somebody else? Who is it that the land was meshubad to start with? In other words, Shimon owes Reuven, and Reuven owns Shimon. No, okay, so Shibud Rav Nassim means the land stays where it is. According to Rav's application of Rav Nachman, it's not two different people. According to Rav Nachman, in his case, there's somebody that owes somebody, And then there's somebody who has a claim on that same somebody. So therefore, the claim can extend to those lands that are mortgaged to this guy by someone else owing him. And I have a shibud on that as well. Here, it's the same person. So l'maisa, that land is sitting by me. So what do I have to do with it? What do I have to pay and take it back? That the kasha doesn't answer. It's interesting. The shita asked the kasha too, and it seems like it's a lav dafka. Whoever says pikeach shimon, he has to magvi. It's not really. Yeah, that's according to the gemara's maskana. It basically means the land stays where it is. Sounds from the gemara that it's a big chav. You know, I'm paying you the land and I take it back. You know, according to the havamina, the kasha is not a kasha. It has to be a guvain. It has to be a collection. And with the collection, then you can say my fail gova. But the maskana of the gemara, the land is meshuvah. So wherever it is, it's meshuvah to me. So therefore, I have it. Okay. But let's see the Rashi. It's a lot here in the Rashi to be able to dissect. Now that we have again a Chazara on the Pasha, the picture of the Sugya, a lot of details have to be thought out. Let's look at Rashi from the beginning of the Gemara. We have really two parts to the Sugya, just to keep in mind. We have the issue of Rami Bachama in terms of the Din Torah between Shimon and Reuven, and why he has to pay, someone would win the Din Torah, and he has to pay that which he owes, the halva that originated in the purchase, because he has no way to avoid paying because of the fact that he has a claim of achrayus. That's one. The other is in terms of what Rava brings in here to the mix, which is based on Rav Nachman, and that's either through one of two possible ways to explain how Shimon can end up winning, either through a mafer who go best. Gemara asks in the Havamina, a raya that we hold, that's why Rav Nachman's din is correct, and that's why Rava can invoke Rav Nachman, or through Shibud Rav Nachman. That's another piece of the sugya. Each piece has to be thought through. Okay. Says Rashi. First, it says in the Gemara, so Gemara says, Mi Amar Rava Hachi, right? Ruben Shemacha Sadu Shimon Ba'achrayis, says Rashi. Ba'achrayis, Shema Yitlena Balchov de Ruben Mishimon. I think same, maybe some change it to She'im. It sounds better. Now She'im Yitlena. We switch the letters. She'im Yitlena Balchov de Ruben Mishimon. For Balchov of Ruben, the seller will take it from Shimon. Bishvil Chov Sheshibda Lo Ruben. Because of a chov that Reuben was meshabed his fields to that balchov, sheyishalim. Well, Reuben zema osav l'shimon. Again, you can read it shema too, but I think sheim sounds a little better. That if the balchov of Reuben will take it, this field that's being sold to Shimon, who sees that field because of the fact that Reuben was meshabed his nechassim to that balchov, so now what Reuben is telling Shimon is, I am guaranteeing that you'll get your money back. That's what achrayus means. Now, this is an important piece of information. This Reuven has no other assets that Shimon should be able to seize for the claim of achrayus when it becomes relevant. Okay? So that's the claim, that the potential claim right now that exists against Reuven for achrayus, and there's no other lands available. So that's what's going to be relevant if what he can use is going to be that which he doesn't want to have to pay the amount that was originally the payment of the field that was converted to a loan. Now, the zakfan ala b'milve. So he owes money for the field, and now they convert that to a loan, explains Rashi. The field costs X amount of money. Shimon, the buyer, doesn't have the money right now. So what happens? They establish a new contract that, okay, the sale is a sale, fait accompli, and you, Shimon, owe me, it was a loan, I'm lending you the money. That's what we do now. So the sale is complete, and that is a loan. The loan is the amount which the field would have sold for. Rashi adds, the kosav l'ruvain shtar aleyet. This milveh is not just a milveh al-peh, it's a milveh b'shtar. And when you have a Mubishtar, Rashi adds here, Beshibe Nechasa Blo Aleya. And now, Shimon, who's incurring the debt, is explicitly mortgaging his assets for payment of that debt should he default. Let's just pause for a second and digest what we just read in Rashi. Why does Rashi have to add this? That the milveh that was now set up because Shimon didn't have money to pay for the field, this milveh was accompanied by a shtar with a shibud nechasim. Why do you need that? Is that necessary when we read on with Rabbi Bachama's ruling on this case between Reuben and Shimon? The fact that there's a shibud nechasim on that halva? Does that seem to be relevant for that din Torah that Rabbi Bachama is ruling on? Or is there another reason why Rashi would have added this? What do you think, Noach?
You could say it's relevant because
why?
You designate this as a shibud, then it's just paying back the chov, really.
It's a chov. Without a shibud nechasim. Why? In other words, Rami Bachama says you cannot withhold payment of that loan because metalti biyasi lo meshtab dilu b'chov. That's what the Yisomim say, and they're right. And therefore, Shimon has to pay that loan, even though he already paid off the b'chov. For that discussion, for that ruling of Rami Bachama, is it relevant? Is it necessary to say that the loan that Shimon took out at the time of the purchase included a shibud nechasim of his Shimon's lands?
It's in Rava's solution.
That's why I asked you. It's a for Rami before Rava. That's good. You're right. But that's what I wanted to hear from you. For Rami Bachama himself, before we get to Rava entering into the equation to help Shimon out, does it have to be a shibud nechasim on the part of Shimon to mortgage his assets for that loan, l'charinat? So when Rashi's adding this piece of information, seemingly it's only because of what's coming later in the Gemara, when Rava comes and supplies a solution for Shimon and says, what should Shimon do? If he wants to be able not to pay twice, he should offer the karka for the payment of the loan and then be able to reclaim it because of the din of Nachman. Okay, so for this, and then you have two ways that can work, either through the din of a mafehu gove, so let's go one at a time, or through shibud rav nasin. No, the mafehu gove, so we discussed at the very beginning of the sugya. When does a bai say mafehu gove? If what is being collected is being collected b'toras what? Keyword, the word of the hour. Shibud. In other words, the halacha is, and we'll discuss this maybe some more or less, it's going to have to be part of our discussion and a part of our lexicon. We're going to see a Rashi soon about Mitzvah about this. If a lova has assets, even the Talturin, at the end of the day, he owes the loan. Malvin can come to the lova and take the shirt off his back, because you have to pay me. But that's not called shibud necessarily. Pashtus, the Talturin is not a shibud. Unless it becomes a formal shibud, like maybe the case of the Mishnah with chametz, like a mashkin, or stated that that should be. But normally, you can collect from the lova's assets, but that's not called shibud. Shibud is a certain degree of, it's designated for the collection, maybe like an arvus idea, to stand behind that which was assumed as an obligation, legal obligation, monetary obligation. That is the concept of shibud. L'mafeyahu gove is said in the context of shibud. So if Reuben's Yisomim will be paid by Shimon, not because they were nechasim or meshubad, then that collection, we would say, would not bring with it l'mafeyahu gove. It has to be, l'mafeyahu gove is when you're collecting it b'toras what? Shibud. So therefore, since what the story is going to evolve in when Rava steps into the mix is that what Shimon is doing is paying karka to Bnei Reuven. And with that, it can be viewed as if Reuven had this land from the time that the loan occurred. Because of Afeil Gova, that is only true if that which the Yisomim are taking this land is a collection of a shibuch. Not just because of my goodwill, I want to give you something to pay the loan. That's not a Mafeil Gova. Mafeil Gova has to be with the collection of a shibud. Schus ha-shibud. It's a special din. Shibud has a definition to it. A schus, to collect from that which is mortgaged, can now be viewed as it was yours from before. So therefore, the shibud lo nechasav is very much relevant. Again, not for Rabbi Bachamas part of the story, but for Rav. Just literally a second. Similarly, with maskana segemar. So the Gemara says, you don't have to say to Mafehu Gove, because Rava actually argues on that. Rava holds it kind of, but why is it true that by Shimon supplying the karka, whether he gives it to him, he doesn't give it to him, Kivegas Kasha, but either way, the idea is, even if it's not owned by Reuven from way back, but the very Shibur that existed in this land to Reuven, right, can also be viewed as a Shibur to the Bach. So then we have to talk about a shibud. Why is it a shibud to Reuven? In order to save shibud of Nasan, it has to start off as a shibud to the first malveh, and then the fact that there's another malveh against him, whether the same person or somebody else. In this case, it's the same person. But in order to say that the land is meshubud to me, Shimon, because the same land that was meshubud to you, but I have a claim over you, so it's meshubud to me. So all that is obviously predicated on what? That it's a land that has a shibud on it. So basically what you're saying is correct, but you just have to spell it out. Rashi's a shibud to what's coming in when Rava spells out the solution for Shimon, whichever way the Gemara, you're going to explain it, through the root of Mefer Gova, which the Gemara was asking on Rava from, or Maskana. But before you get to that point in the Gemara, really, what Shimon wants to do, but that is not dependent on the fact that there was a shiva nechassim on that halva. That's what you have to say in Rashi. I'm thinking, who was first? Ari was first. Yeah. Oh, very good. So you. Proving the point, exactly. When the Sugya begins, very good, good, good. It's a good, you're good, very good. I want to bring it out. Rashi, when he spells out the very beginning of the Sugya, Hamalves, the first Rashi on the Gemara, Baal Chov, Mafeil Gov, says Rashi. I think we only there on that point, we first read the Gemara. Baal Chov, Hamalves, Chadero. No? What does Rashi say? The Shebed. That's exactly why, because you don't say Mafeil Gove unless it has to be through the prison of a shibud. That shibud that's collected, subsequently, so the Schus HaShibud awards it to him that once he has it later, it's Kegel, he got it before as well. So therefore, since if the Gemara is now going to present the possibility for Rava, that the karka that's now surrendered by Shimon to be the payment for this fold will now allow him to collect the debt because of Rav Nachman, because of Mafeya who go Vedmer, is that assuming in the question, that's only because it was a shibud that Yisoma collecting based on the shibud, and we say just as if he would collect it for the shibud, it's Ki'ilu is his from before. So here's the Chiddush in the Gemara, that the Yisoman who collected on his behalf for the Chov owed him, it's Mafeya who go as if he owned it Mechayim. But it's only because it was a shibud. It's mamish parallel to the Rashi before. But we're adding, even according to the Maskanas, the Gemara, that shibud Rav Nasan, it also has to be through the person of shibud. So Rashi's shibud of Shimon has to be because of what Rava says afterwards. I'm forgetting already who else was asking. Are you forgive me if I'm not going in order, but yeah. Okay. No, okay. You're also kind. Okay. No, yeah.
He was waiting because he could see me, but I was going to say the Rav said.
Okay. Name whatever Achad is Kavnim. Are you also going to say that?
I was going to say that she was raising hand.
You see me smiling, right? Even if I haven't asked. Okay. Yaakov. Yeah.
within every Nasan, they're saying that if you consider them, there's also a Shar Shiva from the
we're getting there. Yeah, there has to be the whole. I mean, the shibud from who? For the achrayus. The achrayus is a given. That's mistama automatic. That's what achrayus means. If it's a shibud, you want to know how he was kona. Yeah, that's automatic. That's what achrayus is. It's a guarantee that you can collect from my assets. That's what achrayus is. What? No. A milveh, right. The milveh has to have in it that he's Meshab and Chassim. That's what Rashi has to put into the story. Yeah, there's the achrayus that Reuben is Mekaba when he's selling it. That's Shibud by definition. But you can collect from my assets, meaning to say achrayus means that, right, that I'm going to... What does it mean? Again, it's that you can collect from my assets, right?
I'm saying if we're saying that looking at Rava through the prism of the Nassim,
right,
you'd say that there's a Shiva also from Shimon Peruvian on the Nova. Shouldn't we also just say that then from Ruben to Shimon Peruvian? Why is anyone more mature without the Star Shiva? Like, why couldn't you say that the milk, like Shimon, the Ruben, the Peshavik, the land to Shimon because Shimon was in land for the loan?
Right, so the halva, right, so that was Shimon owes Reuven, he's Meshabez Nachasim, and that which Reuven, yeah, yes, I think so, yeah.
So he made the draft, he got the verse, actually. The same way Shimon did the Reuven.
Yeah, that's what it is, though, yeah. Who else? Yeah.
Why isn't it enough for Shimon, since we already wrote the shtar, why isn't it enough for Reuben or Reuben's Yisomim to have the claim of that, you know,
why does it need to also have the
Shibud on his
property? So that a little bit of Tanishua's question on the original Rashi that was pointed out, that isn't, can we just assume that it's automatic? When you sell a field, so you automatically, it's going to be that your land is, you know, is mishubed if it's a so could be as Rashi means, and that Rashi would mean that here as well, but here it's not automatic, here it's a hava, not automatically that, you know,
why is that?
I mean, it's a shtar, you're saying the shtar should automatically mean shibin chasim. Okay, I hear so that's interesting. That goes into the question of achrayus tol sofer or not, whether it's automatically that way or does it have to be spelled out. Yeah I mean, it could be that Rashi will mean that, you know, that's what goes with it, or else Rashi is going there. You have to spell it out. It's a good point. In other words, if it's a shtar, wouldn't it automatically include Shibin Achas? The Chor goes into the question of what's called Achrayus Tol Sofer. Yeah.
Isn't there also like a machlokes in general about, like, even though we assume that there's going to be a Shibud, but isn't there an idea of like, that the third party doesn't necessarily know that it was taken from the other one.
So that's where,
like,
that's part of the between Taltlin and Karka. That's what, even if you mishab in the Taltlin, you make a Metaltlin to a Potaki. So it's only when it's by the person himself, by the Lobe himself, that it can be collected as a Shibud, even if you officially make it a Shibud. But once it goes to Okeach, since there's no call by Metaltlin, so you can't collect that anymore. But Karaka has a call, yeah.
So you don't need to start with Karaka?
No. Milfa Bishta, that's okay, we haven't gotten there yet. This is a question of Shibud Devais or Shibud Rabban at the end of Bava Basra. The bottom line is that Milfa Bishta has a Shibud, and Milfa doesn't. The question is, does Shibud work with the Raisa? In which case, Yoyi Milfa Bishta also have Shibud. The Chachamim removed it from Milfa Peh because Tzedud Kuchos Nebach, they're not going to know about the sale, and they're going to lose out. But really, Shibud would have worked with the Raisa, even by Milval Peh, but the Chum took it away. The other Shita is Shibud with Rabbanan, that the whole concept of Shibud was to begin with only with Rabbanan, and they only said it by Milval Bishtar. That at some point, we have to get there and mention that Gemara, but I too much information right now. That's the bottom line is Milval Peh, I see already put more questions, but, right? Okay. But that's true. Milval Bishtar, yes, Milval Peh. Now, Machlokas to be aware of Shibud Rabbanan. Yeah.
Are we saying, at what point does Shimon become a Bacho? Does he become a Bacho at the time of the sale or after he was
sold? So Shimon is becoming Bachov at the time of the sale, as soon as they converted the sale money into a halva. So now Shimon owes a loan. He has a certain amount of time. That's what's interesting. But if it's mamish money for the sale, he owes it right now. But since he doesn't have money, so what the agreement was is, okay, the sale is complete, but now you owe me X amount of money, but not the money happens to be the amount that they wanted to sell the field for. Shimon incurs a debt at the time of the purchase, which now gives him a certain amount of time to pay that amount of money. But it's now it's a loan. And Rashi's adding, this loan that Shimon incurred, that assumed that loan at the time of the purchase of the field, brings with it a shibud on Shimon's nechasim, but he hereby says to Reuben, this money that I owe you, which is now a loan, this you can collect from my assets, from my karka for this, if I should default. So that's the point that we're medayik in Rashi. The Rashi's bringing that in, and we're saying Rashi's bringing it in because of what's coming later in the Gemara with Rav. That's what we're saying.
Right, but I'm saying like the concept of a price, that it's not once he becomes the original Balko comes to collect from Shimon that Reuven owes Shimon. It's from the time
he owes him now, but he's backing up the obligation, the legal obligation he's assuming is backed up with a shibud nechasim. That means that you have the security, the good, you know, the confidence to know that you can even seize my assets to collect that which you have over me. Clear?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sure. Maybe not hearing your question. Am I hearing your question? I'm not sure if I'm hearing your question.
I mean, I hear what
Rebbe's
saying. I don't think that's my question. But...
Okay, so I asked a different question. So what's he asking? Yeah.
He's asking when the achrayas. When is the chov of the achrayas?
The chov of the achrayas? I mean, whenever that point in time comes that Shimon defaults, so that's where there's legal recourse for the creditor to go to those assets, wherever they may be, even if they've been sold to somebody else. And that's the din of achrayas that we saw and how that works. It's the discussion we had earlier in the sugya with Rashi that that sale was to some extent invalid. That was the Lamedus of Rashi that we've been discussing the last couple of days, that the basis for why a Baal Chov can collect from Urkuchos, because it was considered to be, according to Baye in a Shelo, according to Rava and Eno Bishuso, Rashi has over here, to the extent that now that the Baal Chov is coming to collect, he's like breaking the Mechira. That's all the old Lamedus that we've been going through. But basically, the Shibud says that you have the right to collect from these assets wherever they may be. But that's only by karka, not by metallic. And you can technically may mishabed your metallic lien, but it wouldn't hold once it gets transferred to another party. We'll see more about that in the continuation of this year, hopefully. but basically, the idea of Shibud, again, we're still getting comfortable with the concepts. That's why it's how we haven't gotten a lot of information, still has to come. But just whatever we do know, the little we know, Shibud nechasav lo aleihem. Rashi needs that to happen. At the time that was Zalkin of the Milba, there was a Shibud nechasav. And just understand why? Because of what's coming later in the Gemara with Rav. That's it. Let's see a little weiter. Hold your fire. A little weiter. Okay, Nash. Continues. If you have the question, we'll try again. But maybe you'll answer anyway. Let's continues Rashi. Umesh Reuven HaMocher, right? Reuven the Mocher dies. Uba Balchov, the Torfa Mishimit. Now, after the death of Reuven, the Balchov of Reuven comes. The Torfa Mishimit. Now, we have to know, does Torfa mean he mamish took it away? Does it mean he's about to take it away? It's not 100% clear. The Torfa Mishimit. The Adayin Lonasim Shimon HaMos Reuven, the Loi Yisomav. Now, Reuven has not yet, Shimon, has not paid yet that money that he owes for the loan that he assumed at the time of the purchase, not to the Mocher himself, Reuben, nor to the Yisomim. And now he has this Bachob of Reuben coming in against him to seize the land. Maybe he seized it, maybe he's about to seize it. What does Shimon do? Upisei Shimon lebalchob de Reuben, says Rashi, ba'osan mos. Interesting lesson of Rashi. Shimon appeases the Balchov of Reuven with Osan Mos. Osan Mos means? What do you take? Yeah, what?
So it does become part of the like, at some point, if we say Osan Mos, that right, Peter, like Monashov, if he had the right to give it to them, then it was like.
Translate for me, Chris. Well, I'm going too fast for me. But Osan Mos, what does it mean, Osan Mos?
Money from the Chok, right?
The money of the Chok.
That
he should have given Reuben or the Yisomim that he owes. See, he wants to use the quote unquote that money to pay the Bachov. Interesting. Okay, we'll have to see what Rashi has in mind with that. There's a tosis on this, a little tosis. There's like an extra chidush in this. Tosis emphasizes that you might want to say, you know, Ki'ilu, I pay the chov. You know, that's I'm paying the chov for the, that what Rashi means exactly. I pay the chov for your father. Is that really something Okeach can do? Or does Rashi mean something maybe a little different? Rashi says Ba'os and Mos. That's the interesting lashon of Rashi. Now let's see a little bit more. Dinahu, says Rabbi Bachama, the law is Afagav, the Avuon Kabil Aleach Reis, Mechirazu, even though the father of the Yisraelim has committed himself to back up this Mechira, that's what it means, Kabil Aleach Reis, Afil Hachi, nonetheless. So that would obviously mean that this Shimon should have a legal recourse to claim achrayis against Bnei Reuben. Afilu achiyichon Bnei Reuben lovo al Shimon v'loma. And here Rashi explains, what is their argument? Anan mitaltli shavak avon dabach. Our father left mitaltlin bayu. Lo hayisa chayiv alav elamos. What did father leave over for us? This claim that you owed him this milva, right? You are chayiv money. Now, says Rashi carefully, v'lo haya l'cha litnan lebalchov. You should not have given this money that you owed father to the balchov. V'lo l'akvan b'shtu achvayis mechivasecha. Nor should you have withheld it because of that, to satisfy that claim of achrayis. What are the two points that Rashi's making here? Rashi seems to be suggesting that there really are two avenues to understand why Shimon might feel justified now in not having to pay this halva. Now, both have to do with the common idea, as we spelled out yesterday, that what Shimon is trying to say is that that money, or that chov that he owes Reuben, should be, quote, meshubid, to satisfy the claim of achrayis. Right? That's the underlying idea. But exactly how does that, therefore, allow Shimon to avoid paying the loan? There's two ways that one could think about it, and that's what these two parts of Rashi seem to be saying. Either, l'hayachal litnan l'balchov. In other words, how, if the loan is meshubad, quote, unquote, to that claim of achrayis. Now, the claim of achrayis can be satisfied by through this, that this loan can be used to satisfy that claim of achrayis, mean to excuse me of that loan. So that could either be through the route that I could simply pay the balchov that money, and that's how the claim of achrayis is satisfied through the loan. By paying the loan to the Bachov, if to explain what that means. Another way to say it is that you're withholding payment of the loan as satisfying the achrayis. That seems to be what Rashi's emphasizing. Two ways that one could think about. So let's take one by one. What's the first point? That if the achrayis claim is meshubad to this, I mean, if I'm sorry, if the claim of the loan is meshubad to the achrayis. So Rashi would be saying, so simply pay that money of the loan to the Balchov. How does that satisfy the Achrayis claim? Doesn't Achrayis claim mean that it gets taken away and then I come against you to reimburse? But here, what happened is I kept the land by giving you the money, giving the Balchov the money that I owed Reuven. But the answer seems to be, achrayis isn't just about reimbursing after the land gets seized. Achrayis means I'll make good to do anything it takes for you to have the land or its equivalent. That it either shouldn't be taken away or that you'll have a replacement. You'll have your money back. So if the money of the chov that Shimon owns Reuben can be used to keep him on the land, to keep the land from being seized, that's also a satisfying of achrayis. Because achrayis isn't just reimbursed. Achrayis is that, or you'll make sure I stand behind the sale. I stand behind the sale, whatever it takes. It could be that you can keep the land. I'll make sure that he won't take it from you. I'll settle with him. Or I'll give you back your money. But all of that is what achrayis is defined as. So if, therefore, Shimon will take the money that he owes Reuven and pay the Baal Chov so that he can keep the land, that's another way of saying that he's using the claim of achrayis to satisfy the claim of, he's using the money that he owes to satisfy the claim of achrayis. And that's what Rashi means, I think that goes well with the earlier Rashi, that Rashi says that he's pies the bachov for osamos. In other words, he's really using the money that he owes and getting the bachov away from taking the field. Whether he took the field and he gave it back or he never took it, that's already 100% clear in Rashi exactly what the story was. Let's just assume he was about to take it. But either way, as long as I can secure my field, that's achrayis. If I have a right to use the loan that I incurred, the debt I incurred to Reuven, in service of that claim of achrayis, then one way to think about it is that what I did was I took that money, I gave it to the Baal Chov in order to secure the karka. So that's what achrayis means. But there's another way to think about it, and that's the next words of Rashi. The other way is to say, look, the land is as good as taken away. The fact that I had to appease him in order to keep the land is also enough to generate a claim of achrayis, because I had to pay money to keep the land. So I have a claim of achrayis. So how can I cash in on that claim? Well, I happen to owe you money, right? So if I withhold payment of that which I owe you, that satisfies my claim of achrayis. He followed two different ways that the not paying the loan can satisfy the claim of achrayis. One way is how Rashi begins, to pay the money of the loan to the Baal Chov to secure the karka. So then achrayis means that I can sleep well at night. Why? Because I have the karka. That's also within what achrayis means. I'm secure. My land is secure. So if I pay you the money, the bachov, the money of that loan, that means the loan that I owed you is satisfying the claim of achrayis because now I kept the land. The other way to do it is, well, by the fact that I had to pay money, the money I paid is not viewed as money of the loan. The money I paid is just to get him off my back so that I can keep the land. But the fact that I had to do that generates chiv achrayis because he was about to take away the land if I didn't pay him, right? So if it wasn't peace in mezuzah, he would take the land away. So I have a claim of achrayis. What am I seizing from you to satisfy that claim? What I'm seizing is denying you the payment of the original loan I incurred. So see the words of Rashi? That's the two parts of Rashi. Well, number one, that would have been one way to understand how the loan is meshubad to the chiv achrayis by paying the money of the loan to the Baal Chov to keep the land. The other way to think about it is why he doesn't want to have to pay the loan, because he can use that to satisfy achrayis, is because I'm withholding payment of that loan. Either way, say the Yisomim, it's not going to work for you. And why not? As they continue, the Tatiyasil Mishtadu Baal Chov. So this is a chorah. Again, I think that Rashi's earlier words, both and most, to me, go well with the Lohay Chalitnam the Baal Chov. That's the Be'os and Mos. In other words, the money that I owe you I gave the balchov, and that should be itself the satisfying of the achrayis. The other way to do it is that Rashi throws in another possibility that you want to get around paying by what? By denying me the payment, denying us the payment. That's another way that Shimon might want to be able to avoid paying. It's two different ways that Shimon could use this logic not to have to pay, but that's assuming that it is mishtabdi l'bachov. But the argument is not that way. But again, without that argument, there's really two different angles that would justify Shimon not paying. Okay, questions, clarifications. Noach, yeah. We have a few Noachs in the room. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Right.
Where does that then play out with regards to when the assumption comes to collection? What are you saying that I have to pay
then? Because if the loan is if Metalti Diasmi, if this loan would mishubad to the claim of Achrayis, then therefore I don't have to pay that loan, because that loan, I have something over that loan. I can use that loan to satisfy my claim of Achrayis in one of two different ways, as we're saying. So therefore, I don't owe you the loan, because the loan is itself mishubad. Because you owe me achrayis, the father owes me achrayis, how am I going to satisfy that claim by taking that loan that I owe you and using that to satisfy the claim? In one of two ways. Either because I paid the loan to keep the land, or I withheld payment for the loan because you owe me achrayis, because the land was as good as seized. That's what the two words, the two sides of Rashi are trying to say. Yeah.
So what Rebbe just said in the second half, when he's saying he's withholding payment, Rebbe means withholding payment from the Reuven?
Yeah, well, now if you sell him, yeah, that debt that he owed Reuven, he does, since that, if you would view that loan as being, quote, mishubad to the claim of Achrayis, then you can say that way, that the Achrayis claim was generated because he had to pay in order to keep the land. So obviously that's not fair. That means I have a claim of Achrayis here. So how do I satisfy that claim against you? By not paying you that which the money of that was owed you. That's to the Akvan. That's what Rashi says, Ola Akvan, Bishvar Chayas Mechir
Seth. Don't I first have to say the first part? No, absolutely not.
That two different perspectives. It's the same underlying idea, but it's either because by paying him, I kept the land. So that's a way of saying that the loan is satisfying. The loan which I owe you, or owe Reuven, is satisfying the claim of Achrayis, because Achrayis means to live well at night, to sleep well at night, to have the comfort of guaranteeing that sale. So the sale is guaranteed if I can keep the land, right? So how do I keep the land? I paid the money of the loan to the Balchov, so I keep the land. That's what it means, that the chov is mishubed for the achrayis. The other way is you're saying, no, since I have to pay money, money out there to keep the land, that means I have a claim of achrayis, because I shouldn't have had to do that. So how am I going to satisfy the claim of achrayis? The land was as good as taken away. The answer is, I withhold payment of that loan. That's to the akva.
It's in the first word.
First way is a different word. The first word is big.
Is that me paying the Balchov is my Achrayis?
What it means. It's in the service of the claim of Achrayis, because Achrayis means securing the sale. So by paying the Balchov the money of the loan, the Balchov of Reuven, the money that I owed Reuven, that secured the sale. So that's a direct way of saying that the money that I owed is satisfying the claim of Achrayis, because now the sale is still good because I kept the land. Let's go right through. We have more to say here. Rashi explains something very interesting. What is Metal Diasim Mishtabdi Balchov all about? This Rashi is a very difficult Rashi. L'chayra, there's two other Rashis that we have to look in connection to this, but let's first read our Rashi and see what Rashi is saying, and then the other way that is more the traditional approach to this. This Rashi is difficult, but we'll read it. The Metal Diasmi, the Metal Diasim Lo Mishibdom Chachamim, Lebalchov, the karka shall yisomin. Who the aminan balchov gova osa b'chova sabiyan. karka of Yisomim is what we say the Bachov can collect. Bechov es Aviyem. That means that there was a karka that by the father, and then the father died. That's when Bachov collects for the chov that was owed him by the father of its karka. Why is that true and not true by Mitalterin? Rashi says the following. Mishim demechayim chal shibud aleh. Because there the shibud was chal already when the father was alive. Therefore, when the father dies, he can collect from that karka, from the arshim. But why is this different? Avol al ma'os shelo hayu be'en. Money wasn't yet here, wasn't here yet, by the father, was just a chov. Lo chayo shibud al mechayim. So the shibud couldn't be chal on something mechayim, which wasn't be'en. The ma'os wasn't be'en then. He's paying right now, right? He's not, then it was just a chov. Ukeshein be'en. When he's ready now to pay, in kan lova. The lova is not hearing. He didn't lend Yisom. The problem with Rashi is, what if you have metalitin be'en? What are Rashi's words? Well, the mechay da'av, it wasn't be'en. And now I have a be'en, I have money, and there's no lova. So you can't say that in a shibutcha. Let's say there was real metalitin that the father had, and he died, and now it's by the Yorshin. So there was a ben, the Chayav. Can he collect from that, those metalton from the Yisomim?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like yes, but it's not so. And this is the issue. Rashi in Bava Metzia, which I think I gave you here to look at, is much more clear about this. Rashi Bava Metzia, discussing when something can be collected for a shibud or not, whether it's considered to be karka metaltelin. So the Gemara is discussing an arrangement where somebody is enjoying the fruit of a field as part of a deal that he's a malven, he has the right to enjoy the fruit of a field as part of like a mashkin arrangement that he can enjoy the fruit, and with that the loan is gradually paid off. The question is that Meshubad to a balchov of this person? Is that called karka or metaltelin? Is there shayach hashibud on something which is itself an arrangement where I'm enjoying the food? And what says it depends if the person that gave this other person the right to enjoy the fruit can force him to leave at any time, or he has the right to stay there until the terms are up. So that's in the fun, whether what he's doing is eating metaltelin, is enjoying metaltelin, or karka. But that's the context of the Gemara. Why one is really the Rashi. Again, the Gemara says, the Rashi is Ein Bachov Gove Heimena. And you see where it is? It's in Bava Metzia and Berakei Zuneshach. I want to see where it is. Samoch Zayin, right? Amid Beis. The Gemara's Lashon is, Hai Mashkanta, Ba'asvar de Mishalki. If it's a place where he can tell him to leave, Ein Balchov Go Behemena, and then other things as well, then this is considered to be metalkalin. This arrangement that he has to eat the fruit is not considered like he owns the field. He doesn't own the field, then it can't be Meshubba to another Balchov. That's the context, Rashi. And here we have the situation as follows. In Mesa Malve, the Nafgol of Nebana. So he has this situation where he has the enjoyment of the fruit, but he can be bumped off at any given time. Now he dies. Can a Balchov collect from this as part of his assets? What does that depend on? Do you view this as karka or metaltelin? That's what we need to know. So here we're going to see Rashi's explanation of why, if it's metaltelin, the Yisom don't have to surrender it. Meaning, this is the classic conventional approach to why this is true. Rashi Himba Mitzir. In Meis HaMalv of Nafru Fenebanav, Ein Balchov Shel Aviyem, Go Behem Mena, De Ein Lehem Aviyem Begufa Shel Karka Kum. The father didn't own the karka. He just had fruit, and you see, he could have been bounced off at any time. It's called Metalti. Umetalti De Almanin, it's just Metalti. Umetalti De Yasvi, Lo Mishtabi Balchov. Why not? Here are the key words. The bishlama ba'odo kayam. I understand when he's alive, gavi afilu mibima dal kaspe. Then the mavakin collect even his shirt off his back, off his shoulder. He lent him money. He has the right, Mashiach ben is going to take whatever it is to seize for payment. And so on. That's if person's alive. Then anything can be collected, collectible. However, they didn't borrow. The father borrowed. The Yarsi Karkos, if the Yerushim, if the Yisomim are inheriting land, those assets were meshubed from his when he was alive. Umechayev midin arev. Then the concept of arev is operable. V'nechsayu debarinish inun arvin bay. A person's assets are the things that secure ki'ilo person's a makosina. The chiozbe alayu samach. Because he knows karka is not going anywhere. So it gives him the confidence they can always go to the real estate and collect. That is what remains as a shibud after the person dies. Avamitautli afilu din arikleka, the lab alayu samach. Malve. The malve doesn't rely on mitautli, you can always hide it. He can ruin it, he can hide it. So Rashi is explaining, even if I have real assets that are movable, so if that individual dies, a creditor cannot collect that. Because the whole concept of Shibud is because of the basis of the confidence that the Malveh has that he can always collect. So therefore, there's another Rashi we'll leave for next year. Rashi in Bava Kamma is sort of in the middle. How to understand Rashi is a whole question. I don't know how much more time we have. I want to do a little bit of Parsha, but maybe we can, I feel bad to know the Rashi's. There's a lot to talk about here. How much time do we have, Chavit, just to know?
12:33.
What? Now 12:33. Do we have to 12:45? Post-Pesach, guys? What? What? Okay, fine. So you know what? So we'll have to do a little bit of Chumash for a few minutes now, and then we'll leave the rest of the Rashi's for next year. So you have to look at the Rashi in Baba Kama also. It's a different ways to understand how the Asim Ashtabdil Bachov. And then we'll finish the Rashi's and start, maybe even start on the Tosis, and we'll have to see if that we can get to that or not. But it's a lot to go through. We got a little, it's okay. We got bogged down a bit on the earlier Rashi, but it's fine. It's all good. We'll have to try to understand it. But okay, so we'll leave this. Let's do a little quick part on the parsha, and then we'll end. Okay.